You're tuning in to Spectre Radio.
Revisiting our favorite Star Wars movie moments and debate about scenes from the show.
We're just three millennials flying our way through the galaxy through the eyes of the clones, Jedi, and bounty hunters.
I'm Wyatt.
I'm Andrew.
My name is Alyssa, and we are...
Spectre Radio.
I'm not here to discuss my past.
The only reason I'm here is to discuss the spoilers.
Thank you, Asola and Baylin, for the spoiler warning. Again, this podcast contains adult content and spoilers.
I started hearing whispers of Thrawn's return as heir to the Empire.
What happens when we find Thrawn?
Power, such as you've never dreamed.
I've spent most of my life fighting a war. That's why I'm trying to convince you to help me prevent another one.
You and I both know who could help you with this.
She's still just as stubborn as ever.
I bet your master found you difficult at times.
Anakin never got to finish my training. I walked away from him, just like I walked away from Sabine.
You never made things easy for me.
Master.
As a Jedi, sometimes you have to make the decision no one else can. But I'm counting on you to see this through.
Nice haircut.
Come in, Home One. This is Fulcrum. Repeat, do you read us? Over? Still no good. In the meantime, I guess we'll just host a podcast. Welcome back to Spectre Radio.
Woo! Brr, brr, brr.
Very nice.
I thought that was perfectly appropriate since we are a radio feed here. So welcome back to Spectre Radio. We're here to discuss so many things. Of course, from episode 4, or I guess, what are they calling it? Part 4. The Fallen Jedi of Ahsoka. And we are so excited to have our special guest back here today, Adam. Woohoo!
Woo!
Woo!
Hello there.
He's got
that is the only acceptable intro anybody can ever do.
Yeah. He's got the Obi-Wan beard, so it's good.
We're so happy to have
All
you back,
right.
bud.
Yes. All right. I feel like with a 40-minute runtime, there's going to be a lot to unpack and a lot to talk about. So, Andrew, go ahead and kick us off with the recap.
Ahsoka, Chapter 4, The Fallen Jedi. Ahsoka, Sabine, and Huang repair the ship, shifting their mission due to Thrawn's threat. They now aim to steal and destroy the Vital Star map to prevent misuse. Ahsoka advises Sabine to overcome her emotional attachment to Ezra to focus on the greater good. They face a minor ambush but quickly defeat Morgan's droids and his lackeys. They then set out to find the star map, breaking their promise to Huang to stay together when they split up when they encounter Shin and Marak, leading to the separate duels. Ahsoka defeats Marak, while Sabine urges her to retrieve the map. Ahsoka duels Baylan, who taunts her about her former master. The duel is interrupted by Shin, and Ahsoka is thrown over the rocks. Sabine reluctantly gives the map to Baylan in a last hope to reunite her with her only family, Ezra. Meanwhile, Hera calls for X-Wings, led by our friend Carson Teva, to stop Morgan, resulting in the death of one of the pilots. Baylan resets the map, and the Eye of Sion jumps away. The episode ends with Jason expressing his bad feeling and possibly hinting at Thrawn's return.
Thank you, Sabine Wren's rebound boyfriend, for that.
I do what I can.
That recap. So without further ado, we have a lot to talk about. So let's go ahead and jump into our first category of instant reactions. I don't know why we have so much fun with that echo, but we do. So was everybody else as emotionally connected to this episode more than I think anything else I could think about right now?
Yes. Correct.
I don't,
I'm my own personal life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm here in my hotel room up in North Carolina, and I'm watching on a laptop, and I'm just like throwing my head back. I'm just like, what the heck just happened? And then more, and then more, and then more kept happening.
Yeah, I watched it on the big screen in my bedroom because I was like, I know this is going to be a good episode. And even though the lighting is not great, I was like, I don't care. I want to watch it on the biggest screen possible. And it's my projector that goes the entire wall in my master bedroom. So yeah, I needed that.
So a couple of reactions. So rest in peace to all the Merrick theories, by the way.
Yeah, oh my God.
RIP, bro.
I
not
mean,
Starkiller, so not this, not that.
All
not
the YouTubers I follow were like, not well, Ezra. We were wrong when they reacted watching the thing. It was so funny.
So it proves that he was curated by Dothamir Dark Magic just by the way he kind of dissolved in that green kind of
Thanos
glitter.
Snap dust.
Well, it was like when Savage Opress, Maul's brother, died, like all that mist went away and he suddenly was his like smaller self. So yeah, that was really interesting to see.
Another thing I didn't catch during the episode, but I saw on an Instagram reel earlier today, but so when we got when we got Anakin at the very end, did you notice that wasn't his lightsaber? That was Vader's lightsaber. That he had.
Well, that's why we got the Darth Vader music on the way out.
Right. And I think they did a better job de-age or like with the makeup or whatever than they did in Obi-Wan.
Yeah, de-aging him. Yeah,
I thought so. Yeah. I mean, the longer hair kind of helps a little bit for some.
And
for
the
some
lighting
reason.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah, that covered up a lot of sins, that one. Plus, you could always say that the war aged him in those 3 years a little bit more than when him and Obi-Wan are training. It's like before the war. So,
right. I'll touch on one more real quick, and then I'll let you guys have at it. But how do I say this? Actually, no, I will come back to this thought later on because I kind of want – I know that there's a lot to unpack, and I don't want to steal all the thunder. So, Adam, instant reactions. What was your initial, like, holy crap moment during this episode?
The entire thing was a holy crap moment. So I was incredibly impressed with Ahsoka. You know, she's my girl. She's, you know, one of the characters tattooed forever on my arm, that she could take those poses as she's like, you know, I normally fight this way, you know, blades behind me, but nope, I'm just going to switch it up and completely change my form and attack you this way. And like the Obi-Wan Maul final duel, well, final as we know it, but that one swipe completely took out Morok. And I was completely underwhelmed with him. It was I was expecting such a bigger fight, and it just like, nope, here, one slash, you're done. Oh, I'm trying to move on to Balin, but that's more of a prediction to go with him. So I have some thoughts on Balin I can't let out right now, but
me too.
it's still so fresh. I just watched it right before jumping on here, and I'm impressed with Sabine. She kind of like knocked the rust off, you know. Well, she kind of had it speared through her gut, knocking the rust off, but she's back in it. She's embracing more of that wannabe Jedi side, less Mandalorian, but it's still there. That whole, she lost her lightsaber, but he's like, oh yeah, I'm wearing Beskar this time. Deflect. Completely impressed with her, but I do wonder, what is up with her helmet? I know she's a very beautiful woman, and that purple hair, you did so much work on, you want to see it, but just to have your helmet knocked off that easily makes me question. Maybe she's just not used to wearing the armor anymore.
It's possible.
Could be. I mean, I can
go next, or I can go, whichever. I was writing an extra one, so I didn't forget.
Okay. I mean, I can go if that's okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. So to touch on Sabine there, yeah, I mean, like she dusted off real quick and got right back to it. Like her opening draw with her two guns, like she barely had them leveled before she fired off a shot, and they were both headshots. So it's like, as much as she was out of the fight the last couple of years, it's like your first two opening shots were about the best shots in the galaxy. Just right. So right back on the horse. And she did seem to do better with the lightsaber this time. So that was really cool. I was a little underwhelmed by Marak as well. I did think that he lasted a little longer than the other Inquisitors that Ahsoka fought. So I was hoping for a little bit more. So obviously we didn't get that. Did any of you guys think that when the X-Wings show up and we saw Carson, that we were also going to get Zeb?
Yes. Because
they were together
the
last time we saw them.
Yes.
Waiting for it.
I was like,
oh my God,
at first
they
only showed like three of the X-Wings. I'm like, oh, we got two more. And they showed one more. I was like, oh boy, here's the fifth one. They're going to have the reveal. And they did not. And I was like, well, I was wrong again. So, but I like that that Hera's like, all right, I'm not going to do nothing. My friends are out there. The transmissions were clearly jammed. I don't care what they say. I'm going. This is just how it is.
Stuck
it
to the man.
She's also a general. Like, she'll be okay. What are they going to do? Demote her to commander?
She gave herself clearance.
Literally, they're going to demote her to commander just for her to save the galaxy again and become a general again. Like, ooh, okay. Like,
I'm so scared.
I like that we got the little bit of that that force sensitivity from Jacen. So that was interesting. The whole "I've got a bad feeling," that was kind of cool.
You got the famous line.
That was a wild like jump to hyperspace.
Yeah,
I was not sure how that was going to go. So that was.
I was confused
really cool.
About how the Eye of Sauron, the Eye of Sion works, because nobody else. I just every time they say the Eye of Sion, I think of the Eye of Sauron. Yeah, but every time I see it, the ring is what's confusing to me, because I was thinking it was going to like open a portal that then like ships could jump through or something. Not the fact that the entire ring does the jump. But I guess that's part of the thrill of it, or the uniqueness of it, is that it has the engines all in it. But it's like, why is it a ring like that? So then it can bring back Thrawn's ship? Or is it just like, that's what's confusing.
Yeah.
Well, like, not even that. Why does it have to be a donut? Like,
yeah, there's so many different designs they could have had to incorporate seven Super Star Destroyer engines. A giant ring is not the first thing you think about. So unless it's just aesthetic choice, it's like there's got to be a purpose for it, or it's just an awkward design. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool, but I mean, I got to imagine there's more functional and fashionable ways of doing that, but. I mean,
you
we'll
almost
see.
Wonder to think if Thrawn left like, hey, if this happens to me, follow this plan. So maybe that was his design.
I don't know if he ever
Thrawn loves art. Why would he make a giant donut?
I don't know if he ever would have anticipated being sent to a faraway galaxy, as that generally has never happened in the history of the galaxy. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't leave instructions for various things. That would just be very convenient if that was
hey
one
guys,
of those things.
If I go missing, call the cops and make a giant donut. Thank you.
Yeah.
Done. So I think it would be interesting. But yeah, no, it was pretty good. The duels were there. Freaking Huang, you know, going fisticuffs with his four arms.
Yo!
We gotta get the boys some lightsabers.
My man held his own. As soon as she was like, be careful out here, I was like, oh, fuck, he's gone. I was like, they're going to kill him off.
I was like,
they're
going to
kill
his
man. Tennant. I was like, no.
I mean, I remembered
don't.
From his episode of the Clone Wars when the pirates boarded and they like wanted the Kyber crystals. He was like just knocking them out like left and right.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah,
I've been here 2,000 years and I've never lost a fight. I'm like, you're so cute. You're like someone's old grandpa. Like, that was good. We got to get the man some weapons here. He got four arms. That was cool. Did anyone else get a flashback when Ahsoka asked, can I count on you? And he said always.
No, but as you just said that, I remember what you're talking about, that Anakin
Ezra,
said it.
Well, yes. Well, yes, but Ezra said it is what I was talking about. Mm. He in the last episode, he looks at Sabine and he just goes, I know I can always count on you. And she's like, okay, you're freaking me out. What are you up to? And that's when, like a little bit later, she like helps him like escape so he can like save the day, very sadly. So that's what it made me think of. But
yeah, and thinking about that question that Ahsoka's asking Sabine, they don't reveal that until later when Baylan is inside of her head, that Ahsoka didn't trust Sabine, and that led to somehow, they haven't revealed the details, but somehow that was the little just domino effect that led to, I guess, her family dying on Mandalore. So that's why there's this faction between Sabine and Ahsoka, because she must resent Ahsoka or something for the death of her family or her parents, to say like, hey, I know this like really big significant thing happened where you probably don't trust me, but can I still count on you like in this really big moment, to like make the right choice when family's involved, when she wasn't really strong enough to resist the dark side, which, you know, kind of goes back to the whole long line of, what was it? Non-conventional, untraditional Jedi is like, they've all, Ezra was tested, Luke was tested. Right. So that was kind of interesting, I think, to see. What else did you have, Andrew, before I continue? Sorry.
I mean, I'm sure with what the rest of what they've already said and what you're going to say is pretty much it. So you can go.
Okay, cool. When she first said, if we can't make the journey to Ezra, no one should, I thought she meant like, let's blow up the ship, or like,
yeah, I thought that.
Like, I thought something like, okay, then if they can't go, like nobody should go. So like, let's prevent them from going.
I was like, were you planning on taking the ship? Is that what you were trying to say? Like,
yeah. Like, I don't know why it's Star Wars. So that's why my mind went to like, let's blow shit up instead of like, let's steal the map. So I don't know if it's, obviously they had such a small team that it would have been very difficult to just with a broken ship blow up an entire, you know, space station. But I thought that's what she meant to start with. And then rewatching it, I'm like, oh, they literally gave us the entire plot of the episode in the first 5 minutes and laid everything out, how it was going to happen. So I thought that was interesting. Let's see. When Marok died, when he like I said, he like Thanos snapped away into the dust. He evaporated. I was like, my jaw was on the floor. Like, I was like, oh my God, he's a result of the witchcraft. And then when Baylan later said, like, how inevitable, I was like, okay, Thanos, like, there's so much of that in this episode to me. And then the part where he just goes, witchcraft, I was like, I feel like it's like aliens, like it's gonna be a meme, like the aliens meme guy. So
it just reminded me, funny to me when he said witchcraft, I just thought of like the 1600s, like every time like a woman could read a book.
Yeah, witchcraft. Witchcraft. Right, exactly. Let's throw her in the lake and see if she lives. I did think it was really cool that right as Sabine is like running out of the ship, they very quickly flash to her helmet. And I was like, oh, Ahsoka had said, like, I need her to be herself. I don't need her to be a Jedi. So I was like, she's going to probably use some of her Mandalorian tricks up her sleeve rather than trying to fight the Force with the Force, because she's not there yet. So I thought that was cool that was kind of like another little Easter egg nod to that. Mm-hmm. And like a reminder from the last episode to look out for it, because very quickly she was using the tool she had on her cuffs and doing that. The next thought I had was around the episode title, like the reaction when it said Fallen Jedi. The first thought that I had was Baylan, because that's how he's kind of been described, as like a dark Jedi, right? Or like someone that fell away from the Order. Right. But like has this still like reverence for the Jedi. Mm-hmm. So immediately I thought it was Baylan. And then when Ahsoka fell off the cliff, I was like, oh no, they're being literal. Like, goodbye. And then I think it's that. And also when Baylan said, oh, I knew your master, I was like, oh, when he said his name, when he said Anakin, I was like, oh shit. First of all, we're getting Anakin in this episode because there's no way they're going to say his name and not show him. And two, well, the way that they talked about it reminded me he's the fallen Jedi. And I was like, the episode's about him. It's not about anybody else. It's about Anakin. Kind of like they did with Time to Fly when they introduced Jason Solo or Jason Syndulla. It's a Freudian slip. When they introduced Jason.
There is a Jason Solo. Just not in canon.
Yes.
His namesake, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. When they introduce Jason Syndulla at the end of Rebels, they talk about him and they said born to fly or something, right? Like his mother. So I was like, oh, I see. Like they were making little more Easter eggs with the titles like they've been doing, like we've been saying for all these shows with the Mandalorian and episode titles that there's all these double, triple meanings. So immediately I was like, oh my God, Anakin. So yeah. And then when Sabine and Shin were fighting, I don't know why, but for a second when she reached out and the music kind of crescendoed like that, I thought for a minute she was wielding the Force, but I don't know why they, I guess.
Anybody else fall for that?
Yeah. It just like,
I was just like, is she going to do it? And then I was like, nah, not yet.
Well, the way like that she paused, this episode was full of a lot of those like pregnant pauses where it was just like, okay, you can move to the next scene now. Like we're ready. Like, and they would just, and even before like they would duel, they would just like hold the lightsaber for a good 20 seconds. And you're like, this is a 40 minute episode.
Every time they waste time like that. Like there was a moment last episode where they showed their shuttle flying through hyperspace. Yeah. Like 20 seconds at a time, like three different times. I'm like, that was a whole minute and we already knew where it was, bro.
Right.
Like, you can't keep doing that to me.
It was very like samurai film of them to do that.
Or when it's like five different angles of them like flying out of the atmosphere into space, still into space, and then making the jump. I'm like, bro, we know what's happening. Like we get it.
Yeah. And then when Ahsoka like woke up and she was in the water, I was like, oh, like, I wonder what happened. I was very confused, as probably all of you were. And when she like, when the camera like kind of started to pan out and you could see like the glowing, I was like tapping the, I'm sitting in bed watching this and I started like slamming the pillows and I was like, oh my God, I started realizing where she was. And at this point it's like, what, 10 o'clock? And I'm like, so loopy and tired and confused that I cannot, like I am right now, can't find the words. And I was like smacking the bed and being like, oh my God, she's in the place with the stuff and the things and the people and the things and the doors and Palpatine. And I just kept like saying things I could remember. And I wasn't like, she's in the world between worlds. And then finally, when the credits started to roll after the emotional reunion between Snips and Sky Guy, I was like, oh my God, it was a world between worlds. Like I couldn't even find the words. Cause I was like, that's what I told to Dexter this morning when I saw him, I was like, she's in the place with the stuff and the things and the people and the glowing and the father and the mother and the daughter and the portals. So I was very excited to see that. And now I'm like, I need to go back and watch season 4, episode 13. Of Rebels and get a refresher on the world between worlds immediately.
I am so excited for that.
I just love that this show is making people go back and watch Rebels, because so many people waved it off like, oh, it's just an animated show. Why am I going to watch that? But now everybody is so confused that they haven't seen Rebels. Like, who's that? Who's this? What?
Because it's both Rebels season 5 and like the Mandoverse season 3.5.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's a nice combination.
Well, that takes us out of our instant reactions and into the next to last segment, predictions. So my instant reactions were going to bleed straight into this. And oh, do I have a prediction here? I've been waiting. I haven't hinted at this for anybody, but I've been thinking about it all day. Bail's a good guy. I So with all the posturing and the camera wasting, as you guys put, or the time wasting, I love that. I just saw it as a acknowledgement of the other's skill. Mm-hmm. You kind of went through, they were changing up their stances of like, oh, how am I going to take this? You know, so it they respect each other, and but the poses they went through made me think of connecting dots. So if my thinking is correct, I think I've heard this, but Baylan was one of Qui-Gon's Padawans. Is that correct, Andrew?
I don't think that's canon yet. There's been a lot of theories that he might have been.
Oh, okay.
There's also been theories, which I'm starting to think, is that he was one of Plo Koon's Padawans a long time ago.
I've heard that one too.
So I know of only one other, maybe two other of Qui-Gon's Padawans in canon, but I mean, obviously they could just create a new character at will. It would interest me if he was Plo Koon's Padawan because of the, you know, him wanting to take this the peaceful way and her just lunging into attack. And he's like, of course, because you know no other way because of how you were trained. But I'd like to see him be Qui-Gon's apprentice, because it would be the same thing. Like, Qui-Gon would rather not fight, but he will if he has to. So I can see that thinking, and it'd be really cool if it was.
I guess a theory I had heard was that Baylan was Qui-Gon's apprentice before Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole, when he pulled back his arm, that felt very, that was pure, oh, you're channeling your master. That's a Qui-Gon stance. And Ahsoka going up high, I pictured Dooku. And I'm like, watch this. Dooku tried to bring Obi-Wan over to the Separatist side. Which,
okay,
looking back now, we realize that was the correct side to be on. And Baylan is really, he's doing all this. He's following Morgan to get to Thrawn, because I think he wants to take Thrawn out.
You think he wants to take Thrawn out?
Yes.
Hey, yo, so, take me out to dinner.
He could just leave his ass in another galaxy.
He could. But you can always, you know, finish the job, make sure that's true. Oh, that's not going to happen.
That's true. But okay. I like where your head's at.
Oh, it was the Qui-Gon does. He wasn't, you know, quote unquote gray. You know, gray's not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he did what the will of the Force wanted. So
these
people may not be Jedi. You know, they don't have traditional lightsaber colors that would say, hey, yes, you're Jedi. But the colors are constantly changing. They're not red, so they're not evil. I don't think they're, you know, they didn't. I don't think they had.
I don't Sabine know. Did you see the
dark
see
side?
The way Shin choked out Sabine, that was pretty evil.
Grogu was as I start choking. Out too.
He was choking out people that he thought was putting Mando in danger. That's a little different than.
And she was choking out somebody.
She stole my crackers. Now I gotta choke the bitch on the playground, kind of thing. A little different.
I think they are taking the will of the Force, and that is what is their motivation, and they're not evil. But Baylan's actually going to be, hey, yeah, Sabine, I need you here. You can have Ezra back, but I need, you know, you come with me. Let's go after Thrawn.
So do you think that they're corrupting the will of the Force? Because their opening scene is them slaughtering an entire ship of good guys. Or at least some portion of the ship. I mean, I know the Force moves in mysterious ways, just like the Lord. However, I'm not Lord disagreeing Bale. With you. What I'm saying is, do you think they're following the will of the Force and being like, oh, we should do it this way? And the Force is like, that's not quite how I wanted you to get there. But
they may not be going the way.
So here we are.
I don't think they're going the way the Force wants them to.
Okay.
But they're going to get to the same conclusion. They're just not the right way to go about it. So.
And it seems to me like she's closer to the dark side than he is.
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it looked to me, especially in the opening of the first episode of the
Release
ship,
he's
mostly blocking bolts back at people and less going at them. Like, he still does, but she's just like trying to de-limb people left and right.
And maybe some of that comes from Morgan, because Morgan, they're like, Morgan, the guards are going to go take care of things. Like, what should we do? And she's like, nothing. Like, they can die, basically, was what she was saying. She was like, whatever. They won't last very long. So, oh, well. I was like, damn.
So I noticed this too.
And then with the X-Wings getting in the way, she was like, don't care. We're going past them.
Run
them. Floor it. Floor it.
I noticed in the last episode at the end when... it was at the beginning of this one when... They were like, oh, the guards are after them. And she's like, well, they won't delay them long. And yeah, like that sparked that. Sparked him to be like, but you guys will. So I almost don't think he was even going to have them do that, because just to show that he really didn't want to fight that much. I can see where Adam's coming from. And you know what? It's not a bad theory, actually.
That's the highest compliment you can get from Andrew. Not a bad theory.
I mean, every theory is a theory until it gets proven. So, I mean, so it is what it is. But I mean,
is that how theories work? Thank you for explaining it to me.
Some people don't realize that. so, yeah, I mean, I just don't know what he wants exactly. Like, he's the fallen Jedi, but he also clearly like still misses how things used to be. But he's clearly not a Jedi anymore. He says he's not a Jedi. Well, I mean, that's age. But so it's like, what do you want? It's like, yeah, you miss the Jedi, but you also clearly wouldn't side with them now, even if they were still alive. But you're not violent. You're not seeking. Right. You're not seeking
power. His platform
power.
And beliefs are like against things. And we want to know what he's pro, what he's for.
I think he saw all the destruction from, you know, the Clone Wars, the, you know, fighting of the Empire, that killing Thrawn may prevent, you know, the Empire coming back. You know, what we know now is going to be coming up as the First Order. You know, Morgan's so hell-bent on bringing Thrawn back for some reason. You know, we know that they're there.
He's an effective leader. I personally, if Thrawn was in charge of the Empire, like, so many people wouldn't die just because of how he's written, especially in the books.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's a genius. He's not evil.
Yeah. Part of me
he's
thinks
a neutral
that,
genius, not an
part
evil
of me thinks
genius.
That Baylan wants to bring him back because he was like, okay, he goes, the galaxy was stronger under the Empire from any threats, whether internal or external, both foreign and domestic. But also, what did they say in the beginning of The Mandalorian with the client? Well, he was like,
I want to see the baby.
I want to see the baby. No, he said, look at any unit of measure. He's like, there was more prosperity, and basically said like more people had jobs and were fed under the Empire. So, yeah, as they were doing some wrong stuff and they were a somewhat racist organization, and
Empire
while
Day.
I wouldn't side with them, there were things that they had down pat better. Now, granted, they just built off the ashes of the Republic and were around for longer than the New Republic's been around. So, you know, it's kind of a wait and see thing. But he's smarter and he's not politically motivated, Thrawn. So I think... if he was to not kill him, I think that's why he would side with that. Because, yeah, he's going to take over and people are going to die, but way less than if, like, anybody else was in charge of the Empire. So it's, like, a necessary evil in order to get to a fairly chaotic, neutral, good kind of thing. So, but I like your theories. I knew where some of them were going, but you surprised me with some others. And I like them. And kind of hoping you're right.
What a twist it would be. So, Wyatt, you've been awfully quiet.
Yes, high school all over again. Thanks.
You're welcome.
I feel like I'm working up a hot take on this one.
Here we go.
I cannot wait.
And I kind of want to save it to the end because I'm not sure if I'm going to steal a little bit of Alyssa's thunder. Alyssa, are you going to mention what you sent us on a video? Okay, so go ahead and do yours.
Okay, I have questions for Andrew. first, and then I'll do my other ones. So this orb situation, the map situation, when Ahsoka touched it, she picked it up. But when she picked it up, she touched it and she looked at it for a second. And then there was like this rumbling noise. And then it was like a clap of thunder. And then she's like, ah, and she exclaimed out in pain and then dropped it as if it was like hot. But then Sabine picked it up and it was fine. So was it because it was lit with this green, dark, witchcrafty magic thing of the Force, that when Ahsoka touched it, it was like that? Or like, I don't understand that part. You know what I mean? So I'm wondering how Ahsoka got to the world between worlds. We don't really fully understand that, right? So when I was just rewatching it, when she picked it up, there was that clap of thunder. And I was like, is that when the portal opened? Or something? Like, I don't know. I'm trying to understand, like, is she dead? Is that how she got to the world between worlds? Because we know she died before and came back before. So, I mean, they're not gonna... I really hope they don't keep her dead for the rest of the show. They'll probably keep her dead for, like, another episode, but...
I think you're right. I think that was definitely, like, a witchcraft spell on there. Kind of like Doctor Strange said he had a spell on the time stone.
Right.
It wouldn't break even if he was dead or whatever. So I think that was like why when she grabbed it, I don't know if maybe it like it senses the intention of the user, and maybe that's why it didn't do that to Sabine, or if it was just...
And when it was like deactivated, I think by that point when she picked it up, like it wasn't glowing like it was when Ahsoka touched it.
Maybe when it's in use, it has the spell on it. But when it is like...
Yeah, when it was ignited use, with Morgan's little weird finger shot. That was so weird.
Yeah, maybe when it's not in use, the spell isn't necessary until you like open it again. Maybe kind of thing. I think you're right with that. I'm wondering... But then
Baylan just shoved it back on the thing and it lit up again. So I don't know. I mean, the logic behind... Use. Right, but like... Wasn't it already sitting on there, but then Morgan had to ignite? Like, I don't know. It just, that's confusing to me.
Sci-fi logic.
Because then I was like, And then I was like, is Sabine a witch? And then I was like, no, don't go there. I was like, let's stay with one thread at a time. Between
worlds go, let's talk about that. So
it's purgatory.
Yeah. I mean, that's one way to look at it.
I found an article that leads me to another theory. Because I was like trying to relearn this, right? And kind of get up to speed. So I found an article from Nerdist that I can share a little excerpt from. Because this we haven't seen in live action Star Wars, or so this article says. It's only been in Rebels, right? Or it's only been in the animated series. It's seemingly a translucent pathway that reacts like water when someone walks through it. At the end of the pathway are portals that can transport travelers across both short and vast physical distances. Interesting. It can also move people through time and space. So it talks about how Ezra painted that portal and how he got sucked in and whatnot. So that led me to go, is this how... like Ahsoka is going to get to Ezra? Because if he's stuck wherever he is and he can't physically get back, can he paint another portal, or can he somehow get access
to another portal? I didn't think he painted the portal so much as it was like a combination lock thing. I think the paint, he didn't paint anything. He's not a painter. I think he like deciphered it and it was like spinning grid combination lock thing. And something, I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to rewatch it. So I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. I'm just saying he didn't. I don't think he painted.
I read it very quickly. So it's fully possible that I read that wrong. When I saw that though, and talking about those both short and vast physical distances and moving people through time, I immediately thought that would be a way to, you know, get back to Ezra. And then it talked about Loth wolves and how they can easily enter the world between worlds because they're keys to the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about how Ezra's journey, which he had actually made in different ways without prior knowing it, like when he got his lightsaber's kyber crystal and when he spoke to Yoda on Dagobah, showed how Loth wolves can make the travel to the plane possible. So yeah. I thought that was really interesting. And then I was like, will we get Wolf Kanan? I want everything.
Wolf
I want
Kanan.
We remember Wolf show. Kanan.
Doom.
Wasn't there Wolf Kanan at the Doom. End?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. So yeah, I don't know.
He met the wolf. And then when he died, the wolf like hung around them. So yeah, let's talk about the world between worlds for a second. So I like all of that. It was my understanding, based on the sounds that we got when we saw it in the namesake episode in Rebels, A World Between Worlds, that most of the moments and most of the portals you see are moments that were A, strong in the Force in that moment, because I believe that that realm was basically like created by the Force kind of outside of time and space,
right.
And B, pivotal moments where characters like either are following the will of the Force, revealing itself, or
a canon event, as the kids on TikTok event. Would call it.
Yes, because of the new Spider-Man movie, yeah. And
right.
Or like fork in the road kind of moments. Like
right.
One of the first things you hear when Ezra first enters is, "Wanna ride?" Like when he first like joins up with the Spectre crew. That's a defining yep. moment that could have gone either way, that is following the will of the Force. And you just hear so many of those other things. So I think it's very possible that it could lead her there to a moment across galaxies where Ezra is, if it's one of those such moments, strong in the Force or whatever moment. I'm also mm-hmm. interested to see how she got there, just like you said. Is right. it because she's been there before? That she was more easily able to get there by accident, or did someone pull her in that we haven't seen?
Right. Like when she was falling off the cliff, how mm-hmm. Ezra was tempted to like,
save
when right. Was tempted to save Kanan, but also when Ahsoka and Vader were fighting, he mm-hmm. pulled Ahsoka out. So what is it possible that Anakin pulled Ahsoka?
That's
I don't
possible.
Know. Like, you
it,
know what
it
I mean?
Is, but
so,
what is he doing there?
Right. And also with the Vader theme and the Vader lightsaber, then I'm like, is it Anakin or is it Vader?
Yeah,
and then
I mean,
are they going to fight
a,
again? And then we
Anakin's
get Ezra
a force
again
ghost
to save
now.
Her?
I don't, there's
I don't
no,
know. Yeah.
There's no proof that they can or can't like interact with that realm. Like, yeah, we saw Yoda, but was he in the world between
right, right.
worlds or another world like it? That's extra mm-hmm. dimensional and time wise. So it'd be interesting to see, like, maybe Darth Vader's spirit pulled her there. Maybe this is something
yeah.
in her head while she's unconscious and it's all playing out in her head. So it'd be interesting to see how she got there. Like, again, maybe because she's been there before, it was easier for her. So it's definitely
yeah.
a lot of what ifs, but I'm curious to see how that goes. And I'm curious to see what Wyatt and Adam have to say about it.
Yeah. I'm confused. I think it's
we're supposed
to be. All signs are leading to that she's dead, but I'm like, not concerned terribly, honestly. I think she's coming back like she has before.
Well, it's her show, she has to come back, but
I mean, that's what I'm saying, right?
That's true.
But I think someone pulled her in only because this woman jumped out of a spacecraft that was like crashing and burning and wound up on the ground perfectly safe. So a ledge, you know, she may have been shoved off that ledge, but there's no way she didn't land that. So
right.
something intervened and pulled her in like Ezra did.
Hmm.
Yep.
I also like the line where, oh, hey, Snips, wasn't expecting to see you so soon. That's what makes me think that maybe she's dead, but like she's not going to stay dead kind of thing. So
right. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, so that just is interesting.
I mean, it could be what Adam said. Like, maybe that's why he didn't expect her to see her so soon, because somebody pulled her in there.
Right. I think we talked about the Purgles enough, so I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to let that one cook and see what happens.
Everyone knows what we think about that for the future, so we can save that for next episode.
There is one other thing that we have not talked about that I will admit that I heard about on another platform, was Jason Syndulla has this green hair that we talked about, but he's got like a shaggy, like longer haircut where his hair is like covering his ears, and they make it a point to like not show them because I guess they're making it like open-ended whether he has the pointy ears or not. So I would hope that he has them and that we get to see them at some point. That would be kind of like a cool reveal, like later.
He'd look like an elf from the Santa Claus.
Yeah, because he had them, remember, in the movie and like or in the series of Rebels, but he had shorter hair, so it was like more obvious. Mm-hmm. And it was like more green. So I don't know. That could be fun. But my big prediction is that we're for sure. And this happened before I saw the episode, and the boys got a video of me literally in the express lane driving to work. I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about the director for episode 5. And I was like, I have to send them a video clip of me driving and talking right now. That was the safest way I could do it. And I was like, Dave Filoni is directing episode 5 of Ahsoka. We're getting Thrawn in episode 5. And that was before they made the jump. So I would like to say very confidently we are getting Thrawn in the next episode, but I don't know if we will get Ezra. I feel very strongly that we will get Ezra very soon, if not for sure in the first season. But I don't know if they'll do it in the episode with Thrawn. I don't know why they wouldn't, other than to like build it up some more.
So there's the question a lot of remains
different plot potentials
from previous attempts where we tried to predict when Thrawn was coming in. Are we getting a significant amount of him next episode, or are we just getting him walking in and saying something?
No, I feel like it's going to kick off. It's got to be something
major.
Yeah, I think it'll pick back up with Anakin and Ahsoka because that's where we left off. So it was a cliffhanger. So he will probably fill us in on if she's dead or what's happening and what's going on and whatever. You failed, but you didn't fail. And he's going to have all this profound shit that she's been saying to Sabine right back to her that his master said to him. And it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be on a poster in my room. Like, it'll be great. But besides that, it'll be interesting to see what else happens. And I feel like it'll have to be probably pretty early on, if not like the middle of the episode, that they give us some time with Thrawn. I don't know if the whole episode will be about him or if they'll wait and just let this one cook with Anakin and then throw Thrawn into the next one. But if Filoni's directing it, I feel like it has to be Thrawn's live action debut. That only Filoni could direct that. Only
I think it's also going to be what you said about Anakin and Ahsoka. He's going to want to write those moments specifically. He's going to want to have his hand on that because he created that. Something that I was trying to.
Yeah, apparently he's written all of the episodes, but he's only directed the first. What is it? I think the first two and then this one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was just the number one or number one and number two. So
I was trying not to discuss this too much with Johnny, one of my friends from the hotel, one of my managers, but he brought up a good theory that I was kind of like warming up in the back of my mind, but he really brought it to the forefront. He was like, he goes, I'm kind of worried and yet excited that the next episode is going to be mostly a flashback episode.
No, why? We haven't had any of that.
Because we haven't had any of that, and it's now Anakin and Ahsoka in a place where time is fluid. I think more what he meant was they're going to spend a lot of time in there because of that. I mean, they spent a lot of time in there in the episode in Rebels. So, I mean,
Oh, this will be the longest one yet. 49 minutes.
Oh, God bless.
This one was 40 minutes. Oh, thank God.
Well, they're also putting this one out in theaters.
The fifth episode?
What?
I just found it out. Yes, I just found it out this afternoon, but
you're lying. Where you guys the fuck?
The closest one to me is Disney Springs.
What?
It was a lottery system to get in. You had to join some other website, and I didn't want to put all my personal information in, but it is a lottery system. They're putting out Tuesday at 8 p.m. So they're going to be done with that episode.
That is so
finally getting it.
Such a fucking cash grab. I'm sorry. I'm going to say it. That's
kind of
bullshit.
It's a cash grab, but it's kind of cool. Yeah,
you just don't like it because you won't see it. That's why.
This is from Screen Rant, so I can credit it so we won't get sued.
I have a big screen, thank you. And I got a front row seat and I got better popcorn.
Ahsoka episode 5 hitting theaters, bringing Anakin Skywalker back to Star Wars. The last event to hit the big screen was The Rise of Skywalker. We know how that went. And the other films are several years away. Yeah, Tuesday, September 12th. That is interesting.
Do you think it's only at one time, or do you think they're going to keep playing it throughout the night?
I think it'll just be the once.
Yeah, so, because at 9 p.m. Eastern, it's going to be released to everybody on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Okay, so now with this new information that Adam has graciously provided us, because
yes,
we didn't know,
you.
I wasn't on my phone most of the day.
Big jerk.
Safe awesome. Bet. We're getting Thrawn.
Saved us.
Safe bet.
So does anyone want to change or modify anything they said?
Now I'm going to say we're absolutely going to get Ezra.
Well, if it's on a big screen and we have Hayden Christensen, he's going to be in more than 2 minutes of the episode. Because he's only been on big screen before.
I agree.
Except for Obi-Wan.
I think it's a good chance we get Ezra, and a safe bet that we get Thrawn.
Oh my goodness.
Really good money on it.
We got to wait 6 days for this. I mean, thankfully I have a vacation in between. And I literally am working Tuesday, and then the episode comes out. Oh God, that's going to be great. Okay. Wow. Adam, my man, appreciate you telling us that. It's good intel.
He's been holding that in ever since he found out to tell us.
When did you find out?
It was just a couple hours ago, but putting that together with what Alyssa said about Filoni directing this episode, I'm like, oh, it's going to be big.
Well, because he's doing a movie, right? Like a Mandoverse
yes,
movie is
correct.
What I read, that that's going to intertwine a lot of the open plots. So that'll be interesting, too. Okay.
You know there's going to be like cameras in a movie theater filming reactions as well.
Freaking better be.
I can't wait to see that. So I guess I will go into my predictions. So I'm still keeping by my baseline prediction that Thrawn turned Ezra. I'm still holding on to that. Now that we're in the world between worlds, it's like we have like a live action multiverse going on in here. And I feel like, this isn't my hot take, but I feel like Anakin or Ahsoka are going to work together to beat Baylan to Thrawn. They're going to use it as some type of portal.
Hmm.
And they're going to open up a door that they're going to figure it out. But you also got to keep in mind who else knows about the world between worlds.
Palpatine. Who's, formless
at
this point.
I send it back. I send it back.
It's rebuked. But
somehow,
he's in a test tube.
So it does open up more predictions. As soon as we saw her upside down on our screens and it started to pan out, and you kind of got to see kind of the blue speckles, I knew immediately, like, world between worlds?
When I saw, like, the river, like, reverberating when she was, moving, I was like, she's in the world between worlds. That's awesome.
And the hay snips absolutely killed me. Absolutely killed me.
I'm going to rewatch it when we're done.
Same. I wanted to watch it before, but I ended up getting out of work too late.
Losers, me and Adam did it.
But must be nice. I got to be up at 5 a.m. I'm still going to stay up and watch it again.
So... Alyssa kind of hinted at this in her prediction, which was a hot take, but the more I think about it, it isn't. Adam and I talked about this at dinner the other night about how in episode 9, we hear Ahsoka's voice when Rey calls out to all of the Jedi. So we know at some point between now and then, Ahsoka dies.
Are we sure, though?
I don't know about that. I'm not saying it's not.
Didn't we get Ashley Eckson like voicing it though?
Yes, but
yeah, but that doesn't
necessarily mean that she's a Force ghost just because you hear her voice.
It could be the light side of the Force, just bringing in everybody.
Did we hear anybody else that was alive?
That's a good point.
I would have to rewatch it just to make sure, but I think no. I mean, Adam and I talked about this at length, but. I guess we'll call it a hot take. I think Ahsoka is going to make the ultimate play and the ultimate sacrifice to save her friends.
Not again. Not again.
I mean, she
and
has
also not Kanan all morbid, over again.
But she has to die sometime. And I guess by the time of Rise of Skywalker,
she can live forever.
She's would
died
be
and come back before.
Late 60s, early 70s kind of thing. Because, yeah.
I think she has to immerse back from the World Between Worlds. She has to. I mean, there's no way we're losing our key named character halfway through the show.
I mean, it's Star Wars. You never know. But also, to answer someone's question, I'm pretty sure we've never been actually confirmed that Mace Windu is dead, and he was one of the voices. Just saying.
I mean, he would be by then.
Maybe you don't know that
he was
aged.
You never know.
He was
50
or 60 by the Clone Wars, so, and that's a 50-year difference.
Listen here, Mother Trucker.
A very old man, exactly.
Did anyone else get so? I'm going to go back to the reaction real quick. So, when Sabine gave the orb back to Baylor. My initial reaction was that's not like her. She's not really one to fold like that. But then thinking about it, you almost forget what's at stake. She's looking for her friend.
Yeah.
She's looking for her friend. Baylan did it correctly by playing with her emotions and sold her the idea that he would keep his word, which he is. He's keeping his word, which leads to that he is not dark side, I don't think. He's just he's more dark than light, but I just think he's just kind of working for the highest bidder at this point.
Well,
yeah, I think it was more so about Ezra than anything like they talked about.
Sometimes we have to do what's right, regardless of our personal feelings. And sometimes that's sharing our feelings on a national broadcast talking about whatever the heck we wanted.
National. International.
International.
We are international businessmen.
We are international businessmen on a trip.
I guess we actually do have two listeners, or 2% of our listeners are in Germany. So that's fun.
Guten Tag.
But Guten Tag. Guten Morgen. Guten whatever.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Anyway, Auf Wiedersehen. We are saying Auf Wiedersehen to this episode. Thank you guys for joining us on our wild reactions, wild predictions. Who knows what's gonna come through? Although we did really well with, what was it, Mandalorian season 3? We did pretty good on that.
We did okay.
But anyway, a huge thank you to Adam. Thank you for spending some of your evening.
I know him.
Sharing your feelings and dropping the bomb that we had the ability to see this episode.
Yeah, what the heck, man? Why didn't you lead with that?
I think you're awesome, bro. Don't worry about it.
Probably somebody here thinks so. But it's a pleasure to be on with you guys, and I always enjoy it.
I got to get off this call and go yell at my friend who works for Lucasfilm who didn't tell me this.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, likewise. Yeah. I have a friend who works at Lucasfilm as well.
Yeah. This is baloney.
So, as opposed to Filoni.
You got it. I was waiting for it. Thank you.
But thank you guys. Join us next week where I feel like something big might happen. So join us then.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode.
In the meantime, check us out on Instagram as @Spectre_radio and on Facebook as Spectre Radio.
Be sure to submit your questions via social media for a chance to hear us answer them on our upcoming segment, Consult the Council.
This is Spectre Radio, signing off.